Did you forget something? In this episode, we will look at how exactly we forget things. Plus, we will provide some helpful tips for you to improve your memory. That's all coming up on this episode of Well-Being Simplified.
Remember me. Though I have to say goodbye, remember me. Don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Well-Being Simplified. My name is Maggie, and I'm your host for this podcast. Tell me if this has happened to you. You walk into a room thinking you're going to get something, but when you get there, you completely forgot why you're there in the first place. Then when you leave the room, you finally remember what you were there for. Experiencing this, it got me thinking, how is it exactly that we forget things? In this episode, we will see how memory works, what can affect our memory and causes us to forget. Plus, we will provide some helpful tips for you to not forget anything in the future. So, without further ado, let's get to it. Before something can be forgotten, it needs to be put in our memory first. So how does that work? There are three main types of memory storage, and they each work differently. First, there is sensory short-term memory. This is a kind of memory storage that lasts for a brief moment, a few seconds. This allows you to remember little bits of information. For example, if you open your fridge and you see a carton of milk, when you close the fridge, you will remember the milk is there. The second kind of memory is called short-term memory. Remember how in Finding Nemo, Dory has short-term memory loss? In short-term memory, you can hold more items of information, about 5 to 9 pieces of information, for about 20 to 30 seconds. And if you rehearse a piece of information over and over, it will enter long-term memory. This is all the information that we gather from our lives that lasts hours to a lifetime. Within long-term memory, we have two types of memory, explicit and implicit memory. Now, bear with me here. Explicit memory can further be broken down to declarative and episodic memory. Declarative memory is the collection of all those facts that you know, like the mitochondria as the powerhouse of the cell. Episodic memory are the memories of events that happened in your life, like your first kiss or a really embarrassing event. You can remember which with this. In declarative memory, you declare facts. In episodic memory, you are reliving an episode. Implicit memory does not involve the learning of facts, but of skills, like how to ride a bike, which they say you never forget. So once we have a piece of information to remember, it will enter one of these memory storages. Then when we need to remember or recall it, our brains form pathways for something called retrieval. Now here's something incredible. According to Live Science, the human brain can store 1 petabyte of information, which is greater than any computer. Here's to put it in better perspective. 1 petabyte is the equivalent of 1 million gigabytes. That's estimated to be 13.3 years of HD videos. Okay, now we have something that we're supposed to remember. How do we forget it? There are a few different ways that we can forget something, and it can be either due to our brains or our environments. Let's take a look at the brain first, with something called decay. Your brain runs on a use it or lose it system. So if you're not using a piece of information, it will get rid of those retrieval neural pathways, so that way it can create more space for something else that you actually will need. So now, you can't retrieve a piece of information. Another way you can forget is something called interference. I'm not talking about the football term interference. Interference occurs when information is interfering with what you're trying to recall. There is retroactive and proactive interference. In retroactive interference, new information conflicts with older information. An example my psychology teacher in high school gave us was if you call your new boyfriend or your new girlfriend by your ex's name. Proactive interference is the opposite. Old information makes new information difficult to remember. For example, let's say you're in the kitchen and you've learned how to make brownies a certain way. Now you have to learn a brand new way to make them, but you end up making them the old way. Another way that you can forget something is due to the lack of rehearsal. Remember how we have to repeat something over and over for us to remember it? If it's not practiced enough, and it will not be engraved in your head for you to retrieve it. Now also, the Mayo Clinic has identified several factors in our day-to-day lives that could explain why we forget. The first one is lack of sleep. Sleeping less than recommended not only affects your memory, but it also affects overall learning and attention. Other things that can affect is stress or anxiety, and it can not only make it difficult to remember, but also to concentrate. Surprisingly, vitamin deficiencies, certain medications, or conditions like hypothyroidism can also affect your memory. But please see a medical professional to confirm that something going on in your body is affecting your memory. Do not self-diagnose. So, how can we improve our memory? For students, there are different techniques that you can use while you study to help you better remember information. One such way that I've personally found very helpful is called the Pomodoro method. The method is that you study intensely for 25 minutes, then take a 5-minute break and you repeat. After you do this 4 times, you take a 15 to 20 minute break. Another thing you can do is called random practice. Let's say you have a test and it covers multiple topics. Let's say 5 chapters worth of material. Instead of studying those topics in order, chapter by chapter, randomize the order each time. One day start at chapter 3, then go to chapter 1. By randomizing the order, you're creating multiple pathways for the retrieval of information. And lastly, practice out loud. If reading a sentence out loud helps you remember that information, go for it. Have someone quiz you on the material, whatever floats your boat. As for general use, the Harvard Medical School has provided a list of tips to help you remember something, and I chose a few for today. First thing, maintain a healthy lifestyle. That means having a well-balanced diet, not just a cookie in each hand, exercising, and getting plenty of sleep. Next, engage your brain. Turns out watching documentaries on National Geographic isn't enough. You need to get your brain to work, like doing crossword puzzles or board games, card games, or learning a new language. That's another thing you can do. Learn something new. It doesn't have to be a new language. It can be a new skill. Even better, learning a new skill and teaching it to someone else. Just like you exercise your body, get your brain to do some work. Lastly, and this is the easiest, if you have a lot of things to do, write them down. This way, you have a visual of what needs to get done, when it needs to get done, and you won't forget to do something. Plus, it's very satisfying to cross something off of your to-do list. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Wellbeing Simplified. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at WellbeingSimplified2020 for updates on episodes, health and fitness tips, and some hilarious health and fitness pictures for entertainment. New episodes are uploaded every Wednesday on Anchor and Spotify at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. See you next time!